All right, folks, we're back briefly, who knows for how long. I think one of the more recent episodes of this podcast, I was fighting nap time with, or a nap, what I was hoping would become a nap with my youngest daughter, and now you might be able to hear in the background, my other daughter is supposed to be napping, and she's presently singing in her bedroom, not asleep. Let's see if we can tell her to sleep. Let's see, folks. Let's do some real-time live parenting and let's see what happens. Here we go. Hey, baby, you gotta go to sleep, okay? Stop singing. Was that exciting for you guys? She's pretending to be asleep right now. The other one is sleeping very close to me. My wife is out of the house. It was her birthday this week, so she's had a parade of birthday events. And so I have this brief moment where between now and when I take a shower, because I'm about to admit that I basically, the most common reason I shower is because I have a comedy show that night. I'll be at, you probably will not hear this with time to buy tickets, but maybe you will. Tonight I'm at Club Comedy, no, not Club Comedy in Seattle. I will be at Club Comedy in Seattle in December with my buddy Ron on Hirschberg, but I'm at Comedy Bar in Capitol Hill, Seattle, headlining tonight. And then, I mean, go check my Instagram. I posted a list of shows. I'm all over the place. I'll be at Newburgh, Oregon, Issaquah, Washington. I'll be up in Seattle again on Capitol Hill again. I'm opening for Sarah Colonna at Tacoma Comedy Club, Chris Kattan at Bricktown Comedy Club, Tulsa. Bricktown, Tulsa? But I don't know. I can't remember what they call that club exactly. All of their clubs are typically named after, like, a nickname for the town or the town's name itself. So, like, Tacoma Comedy Club is in Tacoma, Washington. Summit City Comedy Club is in Fort Wayne, which is apparently called Summit City. I don't know why, because it's one of the flattest cities you'll ever see. Apparently, the summit of Indiana is like 900 feet above sea level. So yeah, please come out and see me do stand up. This is not, I don't know if it's going to be a funny episode or not. So I'm doing, I have another podcast called Poor Sports. My co-host Alex Akita, him and his wife just had a kid, and it's really putting a damper. If you're a listener to both, you know that when we had a kid, it put a damper on us scheduling a podcast. And these two are first time parents; they're brand new. They're I think they're doing things that make it harder for them for Alex to be available, which is fine. I respect that, but I have the podcasting itch. There's been things that I've wanted to talk about that we have not been able to talk about. So I'm going to talk about one of those things on this podcast solo. And hopefully we'll get this podcast back on track. We'll get Poor Sports back on track. And we'll be podcasting fiends very soon. But for now, Trevor Bauer. You guys might be familiar with this man. He was a pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Cleveland Guardians before they were called the Guardians. He pitched in Cincinnati and signed a deal with the Dodgers. I think those are all the teams. There might have been another team in there. And then he was accused of sexual assault, physical assault, all kinds of stuff. A woman who he slept with, he claimed it was consensual. She said that he took it too far. Whatever. That's the story, right? That was the story we all had. And then last week, he and the woman who accused him settled out of court and no money was exchanged and he retained the right to talk about. So I guess I should say the other part of this is that he countersued her for like a defamation type of thing. And they both agreed to drop their lawsuits if like pending or not pending. I don't know what I'm trying to like dip into all the legal jargon I know, I guess. But he retains the right to talk about the facts, the details, etc. And so he did. He started doing that this week. And I will say, you know, this is the type of stuff that he was accused of is a thing that's like, for me, not something my wife and I would be comfortable doing. I do have, through comedy mostly, all of the people who are like anything close to an alternative lifestyle or have really any like non-traditional sexual preferences or whatever. That's probably even an offensive way to say that. But like most of the queer people, most of the poly people, most of the trans people I have met have been through or directly because of stand-up comedy, which is great, by the way. Like I grew up pretty open-minded. I grew up, for me, the number one issue of my childhood, like political issue, was gay marriage equality. I thought it was a civil rights issue that gay people could not be married to each other or whatever. Same-sex marriage was not allowed. And so that's, I mean, for that time, that now that sounds like duh. That's like most Republicans feel that way now. But back then, that was like, I was pretty early to that. But, so I am a prude. Don't get me wrong. I am a prude. But I'm not like a, I'm not like a conservative, like small C conservative person where I think that like I have very specific ideas of what a relationship should be like. I don't really care what people do behind closed doors. That was my argument. I think that's the argument for same-sex marriage outside of the civil rights issue is I think it's the whatever adults, two consenting adults want to do behind closed doors, it's not my business. As long as they're not hurting each other or other people, even if they are hurting each other, if it's consensual, they both enjoy it, it's not really my business. This is maybe an old school view of this kind of topic. And some people are into some shit that I'm not into. And so it's hard for me to blur the line between like where something crosses the line, because for me, there's like just no version of my life where I could like slap my wife in the face and that's okay. There's no scenario in our lives. Lainey, no, lay down. That's my dog. Lainey, go, lay down. Lay down. There's just no scenario in our life where we would slap each other in the face for some sort of recreation. It just simply does not exist in our life. And so I have a hard time with like understanding where the line is on this kind of stuff where it becomes so obviously bad. Like I think with Trevor Bauer, people are like, oh, it's obviously bad. And then I also have friends that are like, they like to be slapped and spit on during sex. And that's not my shit. I don't think that they're necessarily abusing their partners. By the way, these friends are both male and female. And they are both male and female recipients and perpetrators of these spits and slaps. I don't know about punches. Maybe punches is wrong. Or maybe I don't know anyone that likes punches. But again, it's like, this is my thing. It's like, where do we draw the line? What is a punch to a slap? What's a close? You know, we're like, to me, especially for my taste sexually, we are so far beyond the pale of what I don't have to think about what the difference between a punch and a slap is, because neither one is in the Overton window of acceptability in my relationship. So there's like not gray area. However, Trevor Bauer posted a video, pretty damning video, which I guess I'll link to it in the, because I don't really want to take the time to add the audio. But so I have this other podcast called Poor Sports, and when Trevor Bauer left to play in Japan when it's, I think it's suspension. Maybe there was some resolution on a suspension. I'll go, I'm going to tell you the name of the episode. And if you want to listen to it, see if I can figure out. It's, so the episode is called Slurring Words, which I do not remember why. And I want to say the Trevor Bauer talk starts like around, let's see, around 30 minutes. It's maybe a little before or after that. And then you can go on Trevor Bauer. He has a YouTube channel where he released a bunch of text messages, a video, a bunch of stuff that was found in the discovery process of his lawsuit that makes it very obvious to, I think, the average person. And let me say this about our episode of Poor Sports. I'm really proud of it's very rare that you get rewarded for skepticism. Especially skepticism that flies in the face of popular opinion. And I'm very proud that I said what I actually meant, I think, for most of that episode, which is essentially exactly this. Like, one, I'm not exactly sure what happened. It doesn't, like, it's not to me like a closed, obvious thing that this woman was sexually assaulted or physically assaulted based on all the information that's available. There do seem to be like extenuating circumstances that make it a little bit suspicious. And this is before we knew any of what we know that I'm going to talk about in a second. And I just think it's like the fact that the courts neglected to, chose not to press charges against Trevor Bauer or drop the charges. To me, that's very significant, especially in the time that we live in. I know that there's a period of time that gets talked about a lot where, you know, women were wrongfully disbelieved too easily. And I think that's very, very likely true. I think that there's like some kind of statistical arguments about how often that actually happens and whatnot, but we don't need to get caught up in that. What I'm very proud of is that I think like it's important to me to allow justice to play out when it's possible. It's and I'm gonna make some kind of unsavory comparisons that are not, would not be popular if anybody listened to this podcast, but a thing like for example, I think people will be like, well, what's George Floyd was a bad guy. That was like a Candace Owens nearly convinced my mom that George Floyd being a bad guy meant him being murdered by the police wasn't as bad as everybody wanted it to seem. And it, to me, the like very obvious problem with that idea is that George Floyd was not being charged with, responded to for, sentenced for the admittedly like horrible things that he had done in his life. Some of them included, I believe, like holding a gun to the stomach of his pregnant baby's mother, which is, I mean, just horrendous. And I can't imagine doing that, but that's not what the police were called to. That's not what they were responding to. It was like a counterfeit $20 bill. And then they end up murdering this man who from, I think, basically all eyewitness reports, video accounts, was not presenting a threat to the police officers. And I think, like, to me, that's the, you can really point down these, like the, and there's some of these that fall apart, by the way. We don't need to get into this. Like, some of these, I think, like, police shooting things are far less cut and dry. They're never fully cut and dry, right? It's very rare. I think probably the most horrific one was the Ahmaud Arbery execution, essentially, by a retired police officer, maybe police chief, his son, and a friend of theirs that the friend caught on film, by the way, and just horrible, where they basically just profiled this man, tracked him down, and killed him in the streets. Horrible, horrible situation. There are instances that are significantly less cut and dry. I think the George Floyd one is slightly less cut and dry. The Jacob Blake one, which was in Kenosha, Wisconsin, I believe, that one's like significantly less cut and dry. To me, that one is probably the one that's the least compelling of the famous police shootings. Jacob Blake survived, but he was like literally at the scene of a place where his ex-girlfriend had a restraining order against him and had called the police. And I could have some of these details slightly wrong, but anyway, so for me, this Trevor Bauer situation is like, we should, one, not allow the fact that people think he's an asshole paint him in any different light. And two, I think we got to go, like, we got to hear the facts. We have to hear the facts before we, I'm not really comfortable, to be completely honest with you, I'm not really comfortable with Major League Baseball even suspending him. Certainly not without pay until there's like some concrete facts, some conviction, some apology, some admission, something like that. I'm not fully comfortable with that. And I recognize that a Major League Baseball player is a very privileged person in the like overall landscape of the world. But a pretty common problem that we have in this country is that people are ripped from their jobs for nonviolent crimes and end up losing their jobs, potentially years of income, having huge gaps in their resume. And then you go like, and then let's say they get exonerated for a crime. There's a great, I believe it's the Serial podcast, but it might be a different one. Is it Serial? I think it's Serial. It's because I think the second season of Serial was Bo Bergdahl, and the third season was like the Cleveland court system. And they talk about the amount of people who are in jail who may be innocent but end up settling because they've now spent a year and a half away from their job and their family, and so they end up accepting a crime. Or people who get overcharged or oversentenced because they don't have top-notch legal defense. They can't afford bail, so they're stuck in jail. It's like this just horrific cycle against lower socioeconomic class people. And baseball players are not those people, but the same principles apply, which are that, like, what you're doing, let's say you can make, hold on a second, I think my cat is vomiting. Hold on, we gotta pause. Oh my god, this cat. We have an aging cat that's just bodily fluids coming out of every fucking orifice whenever they want to. I don't even think he has a choice some of the time now. 15-year-old cat? I think he's a 15-year-old cat. Anyway, so what I'm proud of is I think I offered like the kind of appropriate skepticism on an issue, by the way, that was like, it was very unpopular to be somewhat skeptical. And I think there's a good chance that Trevor Bauer is going to have, so the question is going to become whether he ever plays Major League Baseball again. So I encourage you to go watch the Trevor Bauer video. And first off, if you're not familiar with who Trevor Bauer is, you're going to see a smarmy, unsympathetic dude. He is not a sympathetic figure. Punchable face is the hacky thing that people say, the overused cliche. He is that. He's got that. He's, I think, probably comes from a wealthy family. He looks like he would be like trying to steal girlfriends at a fucking ski lodge in a movie. Like he's not to say he's even that good looking. I think he looks like an asshole. He talks like an asshole. He kind of is an asshole. I will say this, like from a baseball perspective, I found him very compelling early in his career. He was He's we talked about this on the Poor Sports podcast, it's Slurring Words again. That's the name of the podcast. I would encourage you to just listen because I think we talked about the full range of Trevor Bauer stuff. He's an innovative baseball thinker, and also just kind of a malcontent. People don't like him, and we got to see kind of both those things manifested here. A guy who like rubs baseball the wrong way and people the wrong way because he's an asshole, and he got no benefit of the doubt, and he got one of the longest suspensions. I think the longest suspension, short of an outright ban, in baseball history. It was going to be 2 full seasons worth. It got reduced to like 190 games, 190 something games. The Dodgers ended up cutting him. I don't know what, if he missed a bunch of salary, but you're at a point where he and baseball could very well be, he and Major League Baseball could very well be at a place of irreconcilable differences where they may not want him to come back. He may never want to go back, but there's a chance that them, hey, no, stop that. Hey, this fucking cat, this is what he's doing, is he's eating leaves that come in from the outside, and anytime he does that, he pukes up all the residue and bile. Anyway, I think he has very likely a legitimate lawsuit opportunity against Major League Baseball, against some journalism outlets. I think specifically The Athletic was pretty probably pretty irresponsible in the way that they reported on Trevor Bauer, and I'm sure other places were too. I have no doubt. LA Times and whatnot. It was surprising to me how just uniformly people were like, this is bad. There's no argument that this is bad. There's no possible way this isn't bad. It's very bad. And I just, like, people are uncurious right now. And again, like, I don't know. Again, none of that shit is any good to me. I'm not into any of that shit. I'm against it. I say don't punch your spouse. Don't punch your significant other. No matter which, what gender or what sex they are. That's my rule. Don't punch them. My wife shouldn't punch me. I'm not going to punch her. I wouldn't want my daughter's partner to punch her either of them. Maybe they could punch each other a little bit, these two kids, but not in a, all right, we're delving into a bad territory. And so now, yeah, I think it's possible that we've like, it's also unfortunate because now this is another thing about this specific case is Trevor Bauer, prior to this suspension, had built up a pretty large social media platform. And what's that thing they say that's like there's like a lie. Is it a lie can travel around the world before the truth puts its pants on or something like that? And then I don't know if there's an eloquent cliche for it, but basically like the correction is never as loud as the original story. Like, so this got this settlement, Trevor Bauer settles, and his hold on a second, I gotta give this baby a binky. Do you guys remember if you're a loyal listener, you remember how hard it was to record one pretty recently, and we're doing it again. Hold on. So, this kid. So, this was originally just reported as this settlement. Nobody, like, talked about the implications or dug into the discovery stuff. And the fact that Bauer has his own platform and was able to speak out for himself making the correction be louder, making his supposed exoneration be louder. And not everyone has that. Like the, I have friends who, when you bring up, I brought up to a friend of mine, like, hey, remember the Duke lacrosse team? And they're like, yeah, all those guys that raped that stripper. And as it turned out, they didn't. Like, she completely made up the story to extort them. But that's not the story that's not the loud version of the story. He didn't even know that they'd been exonerated. They didn't have a platform. Duke lacrosse, no individual player on that team is famous. The coach got fired, didn't get his job back. Like, the damage was done and remains done. So I think Trevor Bauer, this is my suspicion on what's going to happen is, I think that Trevor Bauer is going to sue Major League Baseball. I think he's going to sue a couple journalism outlets, probably basically recoup all of the career earnings or a large portion of the career earnings he would have lost, probably continue to pitch in Japan, maybe even I wonder how the World Baseball Classic works. I wonder if he could go pitch for Japan's World Baseball Classic team. But, you know, finish his days out playing in Japan. And unfortunately, I think what this does is it really calls into... I guess to me the thing is that I think these like women's advocacy groups, to me, an actual brave thing to do would be to come out and condemn this person who came out and lied. But of course, there's so much social capital tied up in this idea that we need to believe all women, regardless of evidence. And I don't think that most people actually feel that way, but that is like the loudest and most radical and, you know, a large enough coalition that can damage you if, you know, if you take a brave stance and you matter enough. Luckily, I don't matter enough, so I can say what I actually mean on this podcast. And I think those groups should be, it's a horrible thing for their cause. This now is the most famous case of its type, I think. And it's now going to be the example that people cite often. It's Jussie Smollett. Jussie Smollett wants a larger role. He stages this fucking hate crime, fake hate crime. And now Jussie Smollett has put the seeds of doubt into people's mind when any one of these stories comes up. Any one of these horrifically bad stories comes up. Similarly, this woman, and I'm not saying her name because I can't. It's not out of any noble or perceived nobility. It's just, I can't, maybe Heather Hill or something like that. I don't know. Whatever her name is, she is hurting this cause with, if you watch the video, if you watch Trevor Bauer's video, obvious financial gain in mind. And Trevor Bauer is probably going to be fine financially. Reputationally, it's tough. You know, I don't know. I think that Trevor Bauer is the kind of guy that probably did derive quite a bit of joy out of being a Major League Baseball player. So there's a good chance that some of his happiness, much of his happiness has been affected negatively permanently. But I suspect somebody will be making Trevor Bauer somewhat whole off of this. And I think, like, it's just bad news all around. There's just, once we went down this path where Major League Baseball suspended him and these outlets started to publish stuff as though they knew what actually happened based on the allegations, and they didn't use their own journalistic integrity, and this woman was allowed to you know, be a victim in the eyes of the public for a couple of years, we've created a scenario where everybody loses. She loses. She's, you know, who knows? This lady could be doing reality TV in a couple of years, and we might be talking about a completely different thing. Trevor Bauer obviously loses. Major League Baseball is probably going to lose a lot of money from this, would be my guess. The Dodgers are probably going to lose a bunch of money because of this. I think that those journalistic outlets, much like those Covington kids a couple years ago, it's a similar situation. It's not a similar situation, but I think like a similar precedent where they've done irreparable harm to a man's reputation that's very likely cost him money. And it sucks because what they could have done is just waited and done legitimate reporting. Waited and collected facts, reported in responsible terms instead of this journalist activism bullshit. And this is why, by the way, this is the frustrating thing is like this fucking dork Donald Trump Jr. is posting on social media right now because there's this new war in... Israel. There's a war that seems to be never ending that has kicked some dust back up in Israel. And he posted like, why is it that I've seen more footage of whatever in Israel than the whole Ukraine war? And frankly, the reason is, buddy old pal, is because these news stations cover things selectively to match their agenda because they are fucking activists and not journalists, and Fox News is no better, OAN is no better, Newsmax is no better, CNN is no better. Nobody's guilt-free in this. And the other reason is, you fucking idiot, is that Ukraine happened, you know, 600 days ago, started 600 days ago, and there was so much video. You're completely wrong. There are archives of video. It's completely untrue. There was so much video that there was fake video. Anyway, all right. I guess I don't even know what the conclusion of this is. It's just I feel proud of myself for being a better journalist than most journalists. And I think that we owe ourselves... When the question is this person a horrible, evil ghoul? And they don't have a history of being a horrible, evil ghoul... Which I will say I don't think Trevor Bauer had that history, despite being controversial. He did not have that history. I think, to me, someone being a horrible evil ghoul is worth taking a breath on. Take a beat on it. Find out some information. It's very helpful. It's good for you in real life, too. When somebody tells you that somebody's in a complete piece of shit, evil monster, it hurts you none to just take a fucking breath. Find out something true for yourself. Find out the truth for yourself. The slightest investigation. Ask a question. All right. Casey McClain Comedy Everywhere. This is not a funny podcast. I don't know why you listen to it. It's real fuck up on your part. The Casey McClain on Twitter, and I'll find me on YouTube, please. I love you, and I will talk to you soon or maybe never again. Who knows?